August is here, and our to-do list is probably featuring back to school. Well, for one of our summer visitors, the ruby-throated hummingbirds, their focus at this time of the year is on packing on enough weight for the long trip down south that they'll be making soon. And recently, the Shawnee chapter of the Illinois Audubon Society held a free public workshop titled Hummingbirds, Everything You Need to Know. And this community event was held on some beautiful acreage in Pope County, known as War Bluff Valley Wildlife Sanctuary. And those in attendance were eager to learn more about these small, quick, colorful birds who love drinking from our feeders. But one surprise, these beautiful, nimble birds, they hate to share.
Ruby-throated hummingbird males guard their territory with a vengeance.
That's Karen Fraley. She's with the Shawnee chapter of the Illinois Audubon Society.
Defending against all adult males, but against females and juveniles, even their offspring. Once the chicks fledge, they're pretty much on their own, and they're just as likely to be bombarded by their father as by any other aggressive male. There is no, once they're off the nest, there is no family ties. They are gone.
And that even applies to moms and their kids.
So hummers of any sex or any age can be territorial. The young hummingbirds, those immature teenagers, they quickly learn to monopolize the feeder, and the female ruby-throated may defend the nest vicinity and her own feeding territory from her babies that just got off the nest because she's starting another one. I know, you know, we think that the families might overcome the territorial thing, but not so.
Fraley adds that when you put hummingbird feeders around your property, you get a bonus. You get to see other birds, as she points out on her slideshow.
The top left over here is a downy woodpecker looking for a way to get some nectar. We've got the Baltimore Oriole, and down below I've got the red-bellied woodpecker, and I've seen all of those come to our feeders. And it's like everybody's opportunistic when there's sugar around or ice cream, because I think of our feeders as Dairy Queen for the hummingbirds.
Fraley says in addition to seeing different species of birds, you can also eventually see some pretty unique insects. Insects which are often mistaken for hummingbirds. Two of the most common ones that you'll see around dusk at your hummingbird feeders, the sphinx moth and the clearwing moth.
One of the other neat facts about these is that native red honeysuckle that I showed a slide up, its leaves are the larval food plant for this hummingbird clearwing moth. So if you grow the honeysuckle, you'll have these too.
And as far as feeding, what's the best formula to put in your hummingbird feeder?
I read in the literature that the hummingbird is only supposed to have white sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, I mean, common sense, not brown, not powdered, but white.
Yes.
My question, though, is what about this cane sugar?
So, that's a good question. No one's asked me that. So, when you buy white sugar, it's of two different, it's either beet sugar, which it just says white sugar, or it's cane sugar, which says cane sugar. And both of those work fine.
Okay.
Some purists think that cane sugar is the only thing they will feed, because supposedly cane sugar doesn't cloud the water as quickly. I don't know. I buy it at Rule King in 10-pound bags, and it's cane sugar that they have. If I buy it at Aldi's, it just says white sugar, which means it's beet sugar. But it's all the right sugar. Don't use brown sugar. Don't use sugar substitutes. Don't use honey. But the cane sugar is just fine.
Okay.
As long as it's white sugar. And even though we think it's healthier not to eat white sugar and water, when the scientists run tests on the nectar in the plants, that ratio 4-to-1 of one part sugar to four parts water is the closest to what the plants produce. And what's interesting is there are people who check the levels of nectar in the plants. They have a little mechanism. And different flowers at different times of the day, their nectar is stronger. And the birds learn real quickly which time of day to go to which kind of flower for the strongest nectar. It's endlessly amazing all the things that you can learn.
So as you can see, there is a lot to learn. In fact, two people drove the entire length of the state to learn more about these tiny bundles of energy.
And we're at the Hummingbird Festival put on by the Shawnee Audubon Society. And would you like to give me your first name and where you're from, ma'am?
Sure. I am Lisa, and I am from Chicago Ridge.
Did you drive from Chicago all the way down here?
Yes, we did. All the way, 5.5 hours.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. So what made you drive the drive?
We just knew it was somewhere we wanted to go and, you know, put it on our bucket list, and here we are.
So you're interested in hummingbirds, right?
Yes. Yes, very much so.
Could you tell me what you told me earlier before I had my microphone on? You're new to this, but you've already learned something, right?
Yeah. I don't have any feeders, but I have a lot of flowers. They do come to and visit my flowers. I thought they were birds of, you know, habit, you know, that they would only come to the same place every time. But I guess right circumstances in the right areas, they'll come anyways.
Sure.
Certainly sounds like it anyways.
Yeah. You think when you go back home, you'll put some feeders up at your house?
Yeah, I think I will put a feeder out.
And ma'am, can I get your first name and where are you from?
I'm Julie, and I'm from Oak Lawn, Illinois, which is a suburb right outside Chicago next to Chicago Ridge. And we came down here for the weekend just to get away and heard a lot of nice things about the area. And we stopped at one of the visitor centers at Shawnee National Park, and they told us about this event here. So we thought we'd check it out and see see what we can find out and learn more. It's a beautiful area, beautiful day. The butterflies are just as beautiful as the hummingbird, no offense, but, and they're just as big. So I didn't realize, butterflies can even get as big as they are around here, and the flowers are beautiful.
And a safety note. Remember, since what you're putting in your hummingbird feeders is basically sugar water, that sometimes can get sticky. So in the spirit of cleanliness, many people use an oil-based cleaner to clean their feeders. But since the average hummingbird is very small, it weighs in at less than a tenth of an ounce, Fradley says that cleaning your feeders with oily substances is not good for your summer visitors.
When you feed hummingbirds, it's sugar water and attracts the ants. And to keep the ants off, some people used to like spray oil or sticky stuff on their hooks to keep the ants from going down. But if the hummingbird wings graze across that, just that, you know, our hummingbirds weigh less than a nickel. And if just the weight of that oil on their wings could affect their livelihood.
That's Karen Fraley of the Shawnee chapter of the Illinois Audubon Society at a recent public education event talking about these beautiful little birds we call hummingbirds. And in several months, they'll be leaving us, heading back down south. For WSIU In Focus, I'm Kevin Boucher.